I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today, from the website of theyoungconservatives.com, is their mission statement. It begins, "It is our mission and duty as defenders of freedom. Young ones, as conservatives, you attack the freedoms of most Americans, including religious minorities, non-believers, women, racial minorities, poor people, sick people, and many others. Combined, these groups compose a large majority of what we call America. The only freedoms you defend are those enjoyed by the rich, and they only represent a tiny minority of Americans." Just wanted to clear that up at the start. Their statement continues, "And defenders of our constitutional republic. Young ones, you have been fighting to overturn our Constitution ever since the Civil War. My proof, and in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided them a link to Christian Amendment." So, the very first phrase of your mission statement is a lie. And as you just saw, an easily disprovable lie. You're off to a great start, young ones. They continue, "To steer the country away from the false promises of progressivism." Young ones, name one. They continue, "And advocate a smaller government of moral absolutes and individual responsibility." Young ones, another major faction of American conservatism is the Confederacy. We all know why they are against centralized government. They have never forgiven America for taking away their slaves. States' rights is the Confederate mantra that really means get out of our business. We can treat our people any way we like. And by moral absolutes, you mean the Bible. That would be that book of horrors that the Confederacy used to justify owning human slaves. That book that forces a woman to marry her rapist. That book that justifies genocide, provided that the orders come from the spirit world. Your moral absolutes are the most vile, disgusting code of morals ever written in recorded history. No other moral code even comes close. And your belief that your invisible ghost controls all things relieves you of any individual responsibility. Their statement goes on. "In a technological era driven fiercely by the mainstream media, we believe that those who vocalize a true conservative message are slanted as intolerant, racist, Bible and gun-clinging, corporate fat cats, who could not care less about the environment nor the well-being of their fellow man." Young ones, I'm impressed. That was a pretty accurate list. You pretty much described yourselves to a T. The only exception I would take with your statement is that it isn't so much that the media paints you that way as much as it is your own actions which prove that you are that way. They wrote, "Young Conservatives offers articles and videos that prove otherwise." Young ones, I would disagree with the word prove. What your articles and videos actually do are to provide propaganda and lies so that other nasty humans like yourselves can look at themselves in the mirror. They wrote, "We have a mission to spread the love and logic surrounding true conservatism." Young ones, love and logic? Seriously? Of all the words in the dictionary from which you had to choose to describe conservatism, you chose two antonyms. Their statement continues. "In a day where conservatives are seen as closed-minded and archaic." Young ones, there's a reason why you people are seen as closed-minded and archaic, and it's not the reason you think it is. They wrote, "Young conservatives bring a new perspective to a long-standing philosophy. Young ones, the only thing you have done is to smear lipstick on a pig and then try to convince people you have something new. But I still wouldn't kiss it." They wrote, "Our generation will, one way or another, make decisions that will directly affect a rapidly aging and needy population and an exploding, unsustainable national debt. Young ones, the exploding national debt was the result of 8 years of George Bush. I know how much you people like to start the camera rolling in January of 2009, but you can't rewrite history. The national debt has, despite 6 years of unprecedented obstruction by conservatives, come down considerably. Had conservatives been working to help their fellow Americans instead of doing everything in your power to prevent a recovery, it would probably have been erased a long time ago." Their statement continues, "We feel the moral obligation to intervene against those who abandon our founding principles. Young ones, our founding principles included separation of church and state. Yet you people do everything in your power to tear down that wall. You have spent centuries fighting our founding principles. We have no foreign enemy that does anywhere near the damage to America that you conservatives do. Quick example, 9/11 resulted in the deaths of about 3,000 Americans. The conservative refusal to expand Medicaid has already cost the lives of about 10,000 Americans. Jihadists are nowhere near the threat to America that you people represent." They wrote, "And embrace the comfortable but deceptive ideals of moral relativism. Young ones, getting your morals from ancient, bloody, holy scriptures hasn't proven to be all that great for mankind. It's not like we could do any worse." They continue, "Victim identification and outcome equivalence. Instead of sinking into the assemblage of the self-satisfied, young conservatives challenges the hearts and minds of Americans with content that exposes the false promises of progressivism and the utopian state. Well, young ones, if your goal is to deny Americans a utopian state, I would say that you have succeeded beyond your wildest dreams. You have turned America into a medieval shithole that rivals societies in the Middle East. Despite having more money than God, America ranks below most advanced nations in many important categories, including literacy, crime rate, health care, longevity, well-being, and get this one, internet speed. But like the true Christian nation that we are, we spend as much as the next 10 highest countries combined on our military." Which makes sense, since the world's largest Christian nation is also the only nation which is in an almost constant state of war with everyone else, just as Jesus wanted. They wrote, "This problem is real, and the fight for freedom has begun. Young ones, the fight for freedom has been raging for a long time, which makes your statement one of the stupidest I have ever read." And their mission statement concludes by asking, "What are you doing about it?" Young ones, this podcast is just one example of the things I do to fight evil. I don't believe that most of you are evil, but as brainwashed puppets of the greedy rich, the ones who are pulling your strings, you make their continued reign of horror possible. So while you may be well-intentioned, your actions are hurting humanity. Next, they list their team members. Josh Riddle, co-founder, and David Ruffel, co-founder. Aaron Windeneck, partner. Hannah Blau, contributor. Michael Cantrell, contributor. Derek Green, contributor, and Tyler Levin, contributor. Hey, looky there! They actually allowed one woman onto their team. Show of hands, how many think they included her voluntarily? Now they have a brief section entitled Founding. Young Conservatives was founded in May 2009 by Josh Riddle and David Ruffle. Riddle and Ruffle are Ivy League graduates. Young ones, hence the term educated idiots. They wrote, former Division I college basketball players. Young ones, it's too bad you weren't better ball players, mainly because as busy sports stars, you might have had less time to screw up the lives of so many innocent Americans. They wrote, and former editors of the conservative newspaper, the Dartmouth Review. Young ones, I smell privilege reeking from every keystroke. The Young Conservatives continue. They have appeared on national television shows, including The O'Reilly Factor, The Blaze TV, The Strategy Room, Fox and Friends, The Frank Pastore Show, Huckabee, The Big Picture with Tom Hartman, and HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. Young ones, that impressive list of appearances kind of contradicts your whole liberal media spiel, doesn't it? And they conclude by writing, Josh and David currently oversee all operations at the digital publication youngcons.com. I'll decline to make a pun about that name. And actively participate in creating videos, writing articles, endorsing candidates, making media appearances, and speaking at events. Young ones, and let's not forget the most important part of all, shilling for the greedy rich. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, scientists identify the culprit behind stinky armpits. Do you have bad body odor? Well, it's not your fault. Scientists have identified the bacteria that is to blame. The smell in your armpits is a result of a clash between sweat and bacteria that creates strong body odor. Odorless molecules in your sweat are broken down inside the bacteria. The result is thioalkohols, which are very, very pungent as they evaporate from your underarm. So pungent, in fact, that they smell even when they account for just one part per trillion in a substance. To determine which bacteria cause the worst smell, scientists track the amount of thioalkohol spawned by different kinds of bacteria. Among the most unpleasant, Staphylococcus hominis. Researchers also noticed that a gene in Staphylococcus hominis was also present in other smell-producing bacteria. And when they inserted the gene into E. coli, that bacterium started to smell too. Scientists have opened up the possibility of inhibiting body odor formation by using compounds designed to target the specific proteins controlling the release of malodorants. The findings could lead to a better deodorant, perhaps one that stops the production of thioalkohols. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, John Kenneth Galbraith, born 1908, died 2006 at the age of 97. Galbraith was a Canadian and later an American economist, public official and diplomat, and a leading proponent of 20th century American liberalism. His books on economic topics were bestsellers from the 1950s through the 2000s, during which time Galbraith fulfilled the role of public intellectual. As an economist, he leaned toward post-Keynesian economics from an institutionalist perspective. Galbraith was a longtime Harvard faculty member and stayed with Harvard University for half a century as a professor of economics. He was a prolific author and wrote 4 dozen books, including several novels, and published more than 1,000 articles and essays on various subjects. Galbraith was active in Democratic Party politics, serving in the administrations of Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson. He served as United States Ambassador to India during the Kennedy administration. His prodigious literary output and outspokenness made him arguably the best-known economist in the world during his lifetime. And here is the quote from John Kenneth Galbraith. The modern conservative is engaged in one of man's oldest exercises in moral philosophy. That is, the search for a superior moral justification for selfishness.
Are you ready, Goose?